yerde simaşe var and see your future with me cause you'll be old so easy to love.
Often rewound the clock since the Puritans got a shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock. If today,
Vice Chair Knight, if I can remind the commissioners to just shock, turn on their microphones
they
when
should
they
try to
speak
stem,
on the record or on any items.
Instead of landing on
when they're
Plymouth
speaking
Rock,
into the record, when they're yes.
Plymouth Rock would land on them. You know.
Oh, that's green. There's another. There are two green lights here. Sorry. Let's try this again. I'm calling to order the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting of October 15th, 2025. If you could all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ms. Martin, can you please conduct the roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Alstadt?
Present.
Commissioner Hall? Commissioner Ryder? Commissioner Michaels?
Present.
And Vice Chair Knight?
Here. All right, this is the time for any member of the public to speak in an item that's not on the agenda. Ms. Martin, do we have any members of the public that wish to speak?
If there are any members of the public who wish to speak on this item, please use the raised hand feature and I will call on you. I do not see any members of the public.
All right. Mr. Thompson, are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Vice Chair, we may need to push the item on heritage tree nominations because we might not have a quorum, but we'll see if additional commissioners come into the meeting before that item is heard. That's item B2.
Anything else? That's it?
No, that's it. Everything else should be on agenda in the order that's presented.
All right, Ms. Martin, can you please read the consent calendar into the record?
Item A1, Parks and Open Space Division Report. Item A2, Street Maintenance Division Report.
Ms. Martin, are there any members of the public who wish to speak on these items?
If there are any members of the public who wish to speak on this item, please use the raised hand feature and I will call on you. And I am seeing none.
Okay, do we have any of the members of the commission that have any comments? Anything? Commissioner Alstead?
I'd like to receive the report from Mr. Thompson, if possible.
Vice Chair and Commissioners, so the division manager's report are on the consent calendar, so this is typically a receive and file report, so if there are specific questions about the report, you can pull it off of the consent calendar for discussion or questions, and staff can respond to specific questions about the contents of the report.
Okay. Do we have any requests to pull any of the items off for discussion?
Yeah, I would like to actually pull both of them off, in part because this gives us a little time for more commissioners to arrive so that we could have a quorum so that we could get to the next items on our agenda. But I do have some questions on each report.
All right. Then Commissioner Alstead, if you have questions, let's hear them.
Yeah, Mr. Thompson, I just was curious if you could give us an update on how you feel the work is going according to schedule at Elwood, and also if you think that the work as it continues into the bird breeding season of kind of late winter and early spring, how you see that, you know, taking place, and given the number of nests we found from last year, because I know that the bird surveys were really in depth this last year and that you found a lot of nesting activity.
Commissioner Alstead, I'll speak to the contents of the report because it is an agendized item. Overall, tree planting is going really well. We've got about 450 plus trees in the ground. In terms of mortality of those 450 trees, we've had about a dozen eucalyptus die that are being replaced. A combination of either irrigation needs or, you know, the numbers 450 trees in the ground and only having about a dozen die is within our expected range. In terms of the operation overall for wildfire risk reduction, that's going per plan. We're right on schedule. That's going to be tapering down as we're now heading into the bird nesting season and the rainy season. We're continuing to host volunteer days out there, so if members of the community want to participate in hands-on tree planting, we've got an event coming up at the last Saturday of the month hosted by our community partners, Bucket Brigade, a really great opportunity to learn more about the tree species that we're putting in the ground, as well as to actually plant a tree that could potentially live for hundreds of years. It's been a really fantastic community effort out there.
Yeah, thank you. I think the last time I went out with you, we found a hummingbird nesting in one of the new eucalyptus trees, and that was really quite a nice sight. Yeah, thank you.
Any other items on that?
Those are all my questions for that report. Thank you.
All right. Do you have any questions? Okay. I do have a question about the urban forest management plan, but I guess I can't ask it at this time, or can I?
Vice Chair, if it's not on the agenda, we can't discuss it, but I'm happy to meet with you offline if there are specific questions that you have of staff. And I'll also say, for the benefit of our new commissioner, welcome. And the manager's reports are basically a roundup of the activities in each of our respective divisions, the Street Maintenance Division and the Parks Open Space Division, really recapping what staff has been working on, what our contractors have been working on, just to inform the commissioners about activities in our urban forest. So this will be a regular, every meeting we have these division managers report.
Okay, well, I have some questions about the Street Maintenance Division report, if I could. Anybody else has any questions? As a professional arborist, I see that there's an item in here about that thinning is recommended for trees that are occurring in zones 4 and 5, and we don't do thinning anymore. I was just wondering if, is that a misprint or it's not a recommended practice, and I was just wondering why it's there.
Sure. So through the chair and commissioners, no, this is not a recommendation to our contractor. This was just a term used to describe like weight alleviation of these larger trees through pruning so that they don't become wind sails during the winter. So it's a term I just put in there for thinning, just so the okay. trees can be pruned properly.
Just FYI.
No problem.
We're going to lose that term.
Okay.
Thank you. I did have a question about the arterial paving project, and I wanted to know if there are any other arterial pavement projects planned for this year that involve trees.
Vice Chair Knight, the 2025 arterial pavement project, there's only one arterial project for this year. And we also have a slurry project, which is our 2025 residential project. No additional trees are proposed to be impacted.
Okay, thank you. Well, I did have questions about the what happened with the trees that were removed as part of the arterial pavement project. And what I was most interested in is the fact that Public Tree Advisory Commission was not involved in this because it was a health and safety item. And what I'd like some more discussion about is how and when that decision was made, because what I'm thinking is that if we were able to get to this a little bit earlier, maybe with some arborist involvement earlier in the project, maybe there could have been some modifications that would not have resulted in as much discussion as occurred. So how and when did the decisions were made regarding this particular project from a safety standpoint?
Vice Chair Knight, the decisions were made at staff level per our urban forest management plan regarding health and safety, and they were our hired arborist direction, and they give us a recommendation, and then we act on behalf of that. So that was how those decisions were made during the project.
It was during the project. So the arborist was called in after the project started?
The arborist was called in once they removed the concrete to observe the roots.
Okay. I think the project could have benefited by having an arborist involved earlier in the project for future reference.
I have a question on the same project.
Right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Paul, Mr. Metal, sorry. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the workshop for the tree replacement that's going to take place and what kind of opportunities there are for the public to participate. Will people vote for their favorite tree, or is it how is that workshop going to go?
Sure. You want to go ahead?
I'll take that one, Commissioner Alstadt. The tree replanting plan open house is on Tuesday, the 28th, October 28th, from 5:30 to 7, the Goleta Union School District board meeting room. And the intent of that is to give the public an opportunity to discuss the tree replanting, and it is focused on the Berkeley neighborhood, so it is replanting those trees that were removed. We've done quite a bit of research, so that out of the trees that are available, or trees that are in our urban forest management plan, we did research to see which ones were readily available so that this planting could take place sooner rather than later. And so that has, there's a select list that the neighbors can choose from and provide their input. And ultimately, once that input has been taken, we'll go back and finish out the plan and have a schedule, put it a schedule to it and our contractor.
And is that only open to neighbors from the Berkeley neighborhood, or can all residents attend?
All residents are welcome to attend. Our focus is on the neighbors that do live in that area, but all neighbors are welcome to attend.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is a replanting program that's aimed specifically at this area only. They're not talking about replanting anything else. It's just for the Berkeley Kellogg neighborhood.
Vice Chair Knight, yes. At this time, this has been a focus on just the trees removed for as part of this project. There are bigger discussions going as a group on our work program from a replanting as a whole for the rest of the city and other vacant locations. This one was expedited for the specific neighborhood.
So how many vacant locations do we have?
Vice Chair Knight, I feel like that question probably is leading more into a non-agendized item. I'd be happy to follow up with you after the meeting or next week. We can have an extended discussion about the number of vacancies in our streetscape.
Well, I'm trying to follow up on a previously agendized item that dealt with the presentation by the West Coast Arborist about the tree inventory and the number of trees that were, the number of vacant sites. And I had requested that information from the city.
I understand, Vice Chair Knight, because it's not agendized for tonight's meeting. Again, we cannot discuss any items that are not on tonight's agenda because we have members of the public that need advance notification and we need to follow the Brown Act. So if there are specific questions, I'm happy to follow up with you after the meeting, get a coffee with you next week. We can do a deep dive on that item.
Okay. I couldn't get that information during a public meeting, so I guess I'll have to get it at private.
I'd be happy to follow up with you on that.
All right. Going back to the project along the arterial pavement project, the appeal fee for a public works removal, a tree removal, that is not a safety item, is something that's what the Public Tree Advisory Commission is for. It's one of our three main items that we do. And I see in April that fee amount was raised to $15,709.
Vice Chair Knight, again, appeal fees are not on tonight's agenda, and because they're not on tonight's agenda, we cannot discuss them in this publicly noticed meeting. Happy to follow up with you after the meeting, get a coffee with you next week to discuss that.
Okay. Continuing on this, the street tree report, there is a discussion about the use of a boom by the city staff. And I just wondered what training that the street tree crews have using that boom, and how do we determine the difference between how you said that the boom is used in right-of-way infrastructure maintenance work and that the street tree pruning is done by a contractor. What's the difference between those two, between street tree work done by a contractor and work done by city staff for structural maintenance work?
Sure, Vice Chair, Commissioners. The crews do not conduct pruning of trees. They conduct dead branch removals, usually of private trees or overhanging trees that are in the right-of-way, I mean like sidewalk or they're overhanging the street. They're either broken or leaning, and we need to remove them. Our crews will do that, usually in the parkway strip or sidewalks. And then we have the contractor come through after we determine each individual tree, and they will prune that tree to make it safe.
Good. Thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm.
For the boom. So yes. We relatively have, I'd say, like 8 new employees, which is great, and that's something we're looking to in the future. Right now, our crews are relatively 3 months to maybe a year old in terms of working for the city. So we're going through extensive, a lot of different trainings, and that'll be one of them down the way.
Vice Chair and Commissioners, I'll also add, our Public Works crews, they're on call 24/7, 365 days a year. So typically when we deploy the boom lift, it is either in an emergency situation or where we have a call out that requires, you know, immediate attention, where we don't have the luxury of waiting for the ISA certified crew to arrive. And so typically those will be middle of the night, during a storm, after hours. And so that's where Mr. Medell is focusing on, you know, that emergency work where we need to preserve public safety.
Okay. I guess I'll bring it up during Heritage Tree discussion, but this discussion is relevant, I think, to what will be. I guess I can't discuss it during because I won't be here. Can I discuss it now? Because it's I'm just wondering, you have emergency work that's done, and it does involve trees, and we have people that may or may not be trained in current arboriculture standards. Normally, you leave that to your contracting crew. If there is an emergency and you do have to do pruning, somebody's going to have to do it, and if those people in the middle of the night, I'm just wondering what kind of direction they're given at that point. It's, you know, remove the safety hazard, and that could mean removing the tree.
Vice Chair Knight, the commissioners also. Just to let you know, usually when they do respond to something like, we're talking about a large down branch or possibly a down tree, it's not necessarily we're not doing pruning in the middle of the night. If we do remove that, then we cone it off, make it safe for the resident or the vehicles or people walking by in the middle of the night, nothing happens. And then the contractor comes in the morning, and usually with an arborist, they're a trained arborist, and we'll do a proper pruning or making the trees safe. But our crews do not go out in the middle of the night and do pruning.
I wasn't implying that they're going out to do that. I'm just looking at, I look at it somewhat like what a fire department does, pre-planning. And if you know there are some situations in which there's likely to be a problem, can you do some sort of pre-planning to say, okay, here's what we would do in this event? And that's on trees of high value.
Vice Chair Knight, I mean, we wish we could, but every safety issue is different, especially in the middle of the night. Sometimes there's wires involved. Sometimes it's on a car. I mean, I can name 15 different things off the top of my head, but we do try and work through those scenarios when we have safety meetings with the crews, what they're to do and how many people they should have on staff. And we always, safety is number one for our priority, and that comes to the public as well. We will do, the crews only do safety cuts or dead branch removals for the most part, and that's what we're talking about. We'll make things safe until the arborist the contractor can get out there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If I may add, yeah. I imagine that during the annual the maintenance program to inspect and trim the trees, that's what you're looking for, right? Is you're looking to make those trees safe throughout the year, and so the hope is that you are pre-planning to remove the risk of limbs coming down.
Commissioner Alstad, that's exactly correct, yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that, thank you.
Well, just as a comment, there's no such thing as a risk-free tree. There is always some element of risk involved. That's all my questions. I got a lot more coffee questions later. Somebody make a phone call to our two missing members. Did somebody try to get a hold of them? I mean, to find out why they're not here?
Not during this meeting. Can we
recess and then make a few phone calls and then come back into session?
Vice Chair, I don't think so. I mean, this is, the commissioners are expected to show up at the appointed hour, and we really can't recess for, you know, a considerable amount of time for them to drive across town to the meeting. We're here, we're doing the meeting. It's unfortunate, but hopefully they show up.
Then we can't proceed with any additional items at this point?
Well, the items that you have open right now, the consent calendar, so you would still need to make a motion to receive and file those.
Can we, Ms. Martin, can we please conduct a roll call vote on the consent calendar items?
Yes. Commissioner Alstadt?
Yes.
We need a motion and a second, please.
I move to accept the consent calendar.
I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Alstadt?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall is absent. Commissioner Ryder is absent. Commissioner Michaels?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Knight?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Do we go on to the next item at this point?
Vice Chair, we do, and we have one item before the Heritage Tree nomination, so that's the selection of chair and vice chair.
Well, I guess, Ms. Martin, I guess, can you lead us on to the next item?
Yes. Or? Item B1, selection of the chair and vice chair.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. I'm Dave Kataya, the senior deputy clerk. The item before you tonight offers the opportunity to select a chair and vice chair from the Public Tree Advisory Commission members. I will ask a commissioner to make a nomination for the chair of the Public Tree Advisory Commission. I will then check if there are any other nominations for chair. These nominations do not require a second. We will then vote on the nominations in the order which they were received. We will then repeat this process for the vice chair. So right now, I am looking for a nomination for chair.
I'll make a nomination for chair. If I may, I would nominate myself to be the chair.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for chair?
Well, I nominate myself for chair.
Okay. And I'll take the nominations in the order that they were received.
Can we have some discussion on this?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm not clear on the role of the vice chair.
Okay.
I was told by the clerk's office that the vice chair was not considered the chair for the purpose of discussing the agenda with the Public Works Department staff, because it said in the the statement from the, the regulations, that only the chair could do that. And since I was a vice chair, I could not do that. And I had thought that the vice chair assumes the role of the chair when the chair is not present. And that's the way it's stated here in the discussion. You know, vice chair serves in the absence of the chair. Which one is it?
The vice chair serves in the absence of the chair, but what you were told earlier is correct, that the agenda items are only discussed with the chair.
But the vice chair serves as the chair in the absence.
That's correct.
But you just said that he couldn't do that because he wasn't the chair.
Well, the vice chair does run the meeting in the absence of the chair, but the chair is the one that can discuss the items with staff.
Okay.
Well, and if I could ask a question, let's just say hypothetically, if the chair knows that they will not be available for a meeting, then does the vice chair receive that information in their place?
Receive the information?
Well, I mean, get the opportunity to hear what's going to be on the agenda, because I think that's the question.
I believe they do get to have the opportunity to hear what's on the agenda, but as do the other commissioners.
Another question, then, on the role of the chair. The chair is supposed to meet with the Public Works staff to discuss items that may appear on the agenda. It would be, the chair is not omniscient. The chair would have to discuss with the other members of the commission as to what their feelings are. Otherwise, the chair is just representing his or her own interests. Is there a way to conduct a poll, which I guess is not legal under the Brown Act?
That's correct.
But how do you get information about what the other commissioners are interested in? How does the chair get information from the other commissioners as to what items they would like to have on the agenda if they're not allowed to talk to one another before the meeting?
I can provide a little bit of insight to that. So I was recently appointed as the liaison to the Public Tree Advisory Commission. And so my role is to be that conduit. So I would meet with the chair prior to the meeting, discuss the agenda, and also have the opportunity to discuss individually with commissioners, including the vice chair, about items that you would like to see discussed, and then convey that to the chair. But you're correct. You cannot have direct communication outside of this agendized item or meeting with other commissioners. That would be a serial meeting or a violation of the Brown Act.
But then the role of the chair is an independent opinion. It does not represent the opinion of the board, because the chair cannot communicate with the rest of the board. And that's why I was asking about the role of the chair. Is the chair there to represent the board and the cumulative opinions of the board, or is the chair there simply to represent their own interests when discussing matters?
Mr. Kataya can provide more insight into the role of the chair, but our understanding is the chair's primary role is to meet with staff on setting the agenda, discussing the agenda in advance of the meeting, discussing the agenda for the year. And really the primary function of the chair is to run the meeting.
Right. And if the chair then is responsible for running the meeting and getting the opinions and ultimately votes of the board members to represent the board as a whole, not as five individuals, but as a whole, so that staff and the council have a clear idea of what is the opinion of the Public Tree Advisory Commission. Otherwise, we have five separate people up here, and we want to have one voice. We should have one voice.
Well, Vice Chair Knight, I think that's the beauty of this kind of mini-democracy of the commission, is that you take a vote, and as a commission, the vote conveys to the city council what the PTAC's opinion recommendations are. So it's not necessarily you're always going to have a unified voice. It really comes down to you have a vote, an individual vote, tally that, and that is what gets conveyed to city council.
And that is the role of the chair, is to conduct meetings, to conduct votes, so that the Public Tree Advisory Commission speaks as one voice. And you can have a minority, and you'll have a vote, and you'll have different opinions, but ultimately it's the majority vote that prevails.
Correct, but I'd say just in practice, you know, our city council members do often go back, review the meeting tape, They oftentimes during the city council say, I watched the PUTAC meeting, I watched the Park and Rec Commission meeting. They do invest that time. So it's not just the vote, but they also have the context and the discussion. So that is an important part of the chair, is moderating that discussion and making sure that each individual commission member is heard, that the topic is germane to the agendized item, and that ultimately the vote shows what the PDAC's ultimate recommendation is.
I was asking about the role of the chair, because it's very important to have a chair that can secure the opinions of all of the board, of the commission members, because we don't get to talk to one another ever. Because of the Brown Act, we don't have any committee meetings. We don't have any communication with one another other than at this meeting. So it's very important that we have a chance to ensure, and that's the chair's role, is to ensure that we all have an opportunity to speak and to be heard.
Yes, during the notice meeting. Yes, during the meeting.
Right. Well, that's why I was asking about the role of the chair, and to make sure that...
Run the meeting, make sure it stays on topic, that all the members on the commission have equal airtime, that their opinions, discussion sees the light of day.
Okay.
And Vice,
I just wanted to clarify that.
Vice Chair Knight, I would like to add that it's not the chair's goal to have one opinion of the five-member board. It's the goal of the chair to ensure that the five opinions are welcomed and heard.
That wasn't my intent.
So it's not one voice or one direction. It's that. So I think that's what I wanted to clarify. So the intent is that you don't meet with everybody and get their opinions, and that you meet with the liaisons and discuss the agenda item. But ultimately, the city, with the support of city manager, will set the final agenda.
Right. Well, I wasn't referring to, we have to have one voice. I was saying that there's an opportunity to have everybody be able to speak so that we could present a voice. And that voice may be, five different opinions. Ultimately, it's going to have one. Once there's a vote, the vote is in one direction.
Correct. But that only takes place in the meeting.
Well, correct. That's what we're talking about. Yes, of course.
If I could ask a question. This is reminding me that, and I'm sorry, I forget exactly when this happened, but last year or a year and a half ago when the roles of commissions and commissioners was clarified, I seem to remember that commissioners do not play a role in setting the agenda for meetings, and that's public works staff that does that. And then when the chair is briefed, essentially it's a brief on what is on the agenda, and it's not asking for agenda items. Am I right in remembering that?
Vice Chair and commissioners, yes, ultimately staff and the city manager's office set the agenda for all of the boards and commissions. But certainly in practice, what I outlined before, the discussion with individual commissioners and the staff liaison is really the sausage making of the calendar. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, staff set the agenda. And just a little window into why that is. We have limited resources. We have an adopted work program that the city council sets for us, as well as the budget. And so you can appreciate, hopefully, if an individual commissioner has a specific agenda item that they want to move forward, that's going to result in, more often than not, a considerable amount of staff work that isn't programmed for this annual work program, that doesn't have budget, and so you can see some of the frustration that could result from that. And so there is a process for the city budget and work program that follows a routine annual process, and ultimately our mayor and council members have the authority to set that for staff. It's not boards and commissioners.
Yeah, I was just trying to clarify the role of the chair, the commission chair, and whether they're actually setting the meeting agenda, and it sounds like they're not.
Ultimately, no. City Council directed all boards and commissioners and staff that staff sets the commission. But that said, the discussion with the staff liaison, and for PTAC that would be me, yes, we're looking at, you know, what are we forecasting out in next year's annual plan? How does that conform to the goals of the Urban Forest Management Plan? How does that conform to other projects that we have going on throughout the city? So there's discussion and working with the chair. That's what I would encourage, is that we're not, you know, just having this narrow window and this is what the agenda is going to be. It's a discussion.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that, because we're a commission. You know, our boss is the council. I mean, yes, we advise staff, but we also advise council. And I think it's important that we at least be able to address. And we know you guys work hard. You got more work than you can handle. And we don't want to make work. And that's why I was trying to clarify that, you know, in trying to come up with questions about public policy and making recommendations on them, that we didn't have just one person coming up and saying, yeah, this is what I think should happen. Everybody should be agreeing upon that with the Public Tree Advisory Commission if we're going to be requesting something from staff. And staff can say, well, look, it's not in the cards. We can't do it. We don't have the money, the staffing, whatever. But at least we'd like to be able to address those and ask the questions. We may not get the answers we want, but at least we'd like to be able to ask the questions.
So at this time, I do have two nominations for chair. And as I said when I started, we will now take a vote in the order which I receive the nominations. So our first nomination was for Commissioner Allstadt to be chair. And I will now ask the clerk to take a roll call vote for Commissioner Allstadt to be chair.
Commissioner Allstadt?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall is absent. Commissioner Ryder is absent. Commissioner Michaels?
Actually, I have a question. This may not be inappropriate, but since it looks like I'll be the tiebreaker here, I wondered if I could hear from each of you a short elevator speech about why you would like to be the chair. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
It's relevant.
If I may, if the deputy clerk can clarify if we need a quorum for this item.
We do, and we can't have a majority of the three of you to have this item voted on. Now, the vote has been started. We do have one vote, but I think okay with Public Works staff, a short discussion.
So just a clarification question there. So would the current vote need to proceed to its finish now, or would we re-vote after the elevator speeches?
That's a good question. I do have one vote for yes. That's a very good procedural question. I would say you could retract your vote and we could have the discussion and then
sure.
We could start again.
Sure. Okay. I retract my vote for myself.
Okay.
One more question. Why are we voting if we don't have a quorum?
We do have a quorum. It's a five-person body. Three of you are here and we can take the majority of three.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, so since I was first to speak, I'll go first. I think my interest in chair is, my personal interest is running an efficient meeting, and that entails making sure that we respectfully hear staff and do that in a timely manner, and basically follow the rules that are laid out to us and the obligations that we have. And how I've seen this in the past is it's pretty rigid. There's not a lot of kind of creativity, you know, to stray from, you know, what the script that's given us. We have a role to play, and my interest is continuing to learn how to do that in an effective and efficient and professional manner. Yeah, and as much as I would love to be, you know, working with Mr. Thompson and others to set the, you know, my agenda, put my agenda into place, my experience here has been that that's really not our role. Our role is to advise staff on items, you know, that come up regarding the public or the urban forest and tree maintenance and tree management. So what I've tried to do is set aside kind of my personal, you know, like what I would like to do personally if I was king or queen, you know, of the urban forest, and then try to operate within the framework that we're given.
Thank you.
Sure.
I have a kind of little different viewpoint. I'm a professional arborist. I was appointed to this role so that I could provide some viewpoints about what is what's appropriate and practical from a professional standpoint. I also am a president of a nonprofit that is involved in urban forestry, and I deal with a lot of students and do a lot of public work. But I'm also well experienced in running public meetings. I was a former chair of the Planning Commission, one of the first Planning Commissions here in Goleta. I was the chair of that. I was worked on other agencies such as the Goleta West Sanitary District. I was a member of that board. I've been a member of various professional boards, including the Western chapter of the International Society of Arboriculture. I'm currently a board member of the California Urban Forest Council. So I have a lot of professional and, a lot of interest in what's going on. And I want to see, to the extent possible, the items that we could be doing within the context of what is feasible. And that is something that if you don't ask at some times, you won't get. And so I'm probably not coloring in between the lines all the time. I will ask for things and, nope, you can't have that. But that is at least an attempt to broaden our perspectives and to provide the city council with the best recommendations that we can have coming from us.
So. Thank you both.
Are you ready for another roll call vote for chair? Clerk, if you would please take a roll call vote for Chair Alstadt to be chair.
Aye.
Chair Alstadt?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall is absent. Commissioner Ryder is absent. Commissioner Michaels?
With all due respect to Vice Chair Knight, I vote yes.
And Vice Chair Knight?
I abstain.
Okay, so Commissioner Alstadt is now chair. Do I have a nomination for vice chair?
I would like to nominate Commissioner Knight as vice chair.
Do I have any other nominations? And I'll ask the clerk for a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Alstadt?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall is absent, and Commissioner Ryder is absent. Commissioner Michaels?
Yes.
Vice Chair Knight?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Vice Chair Knight is Vice Chair Knight. Thank you all very much.
Everything stays the same.
All right, so since we don't have a quorum, we are shelving B2, the Heritage Tree nomination, until next year, the next meeting. And so, therefore, we will move on to item B3, selection of meeting dates. Do I ask for public comment for meeting dates? Does that?
Yes, it is an action, a discussion action item. So.
Do we have any members of the public who wish to speak on this agenda item?
If there are any members of the public who wish to speak on this item, please use the raised hand feature and I will call on you. And Chair Alstadt, I am not seeing any members of the public wishing to speak.
All right, thank you. Mr. Thompson, may we hear the meeting dates, please?
Ms. Martin's going to take this.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Yes. For this item, we did have a misprint, I guess an error. We did ask to have you vote on November 11th, which is Veterans Day. So we would request that you would vote on if approving the proposed dates, with the exception of the November 11th date, which we would bring to the commission at a future meeting, then another date, an alternate date for that time.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions on those dates? Okay.
Well, when is the date?
To be decided.
The future date?
Yeah.
Of the November, well, we would bring that item back. So you would be voting this evening on the three dates that are agendized in the staff report. And the third date of the year would be brought back to a future item.
So I can actually recite those proposed dates. So it'd be Wednesday, February 11th, 2026, Wednesday, June 10th, 2026, and Wednesday, September 23rd, 2026. And then the fourth date, as Ms. Martin mentioned, as proposed, is Veterans Day. So we would not include that one under this item. And then we would bring that back on February 11th, if that's the date that gets agreed upon, for a proposed fourth meeting date. So right now, you'd just be voting on February 11th, June 10th, and September 23rd.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Martin, could we conduct a roll call vote?
Could we have some discussion, please? More discussion?
If we could, I'll just add one more thing. We also have a proposed alternative meeting date, which is Wednesday, December 2nd. So that's that's a proposed alternative meeting date.
Vice Chair, you wanted more discussion.
Yeah. We have a problem with getting these dates because it looks like the availability of the conference room here, or the City Hall chambers, is what's driving the meeting. And if there is a problem in having this facility available, I'm wondering, is there any other? We only have four meetings a year, and this year we only have one. Is there another alternative way of having a meeting if we can't get this facility? Could we do an online meeting?
It's also staff time.
Yeah, right. But my point is that if it's the facility that's causing a problem, because as far as I know, you're all available during these times, but let's say it comes up that we have to reschedule the November 11th meeting, but it's not available. This facility is not available, and so we wouldn't be able to hold a meeting.
Vice Chair Knight, so in advance of the published proposed meeting dates, we worked with our city clerk's office to ensure that these dates are set. I'm confident if one of those dates doesn't work out, we could find a venue to meet, whether it's in this room or at an alternative venue. But I'd say the facility is not going to be a limiting factor next year.
Okay, that's good to know. Another question. Normally, isn't the third week in September Creek Week? I mean, isn't that...
Vice Chair, it is typically Creek Week, but I'm involved with that event, as you may know. I don't see that as being a conflicting reason to not choose September 23rd.
Okay. Yep. Just wanted to make sure.
Thanks.
And is there any possibility of having another meeting this year, since we just missed this this meeting, and we have to wait another 3 months until we have another meeting? Is there an opportunity for an alternative meeting this year, since this is October, and normally we would have had an alternative in this year?
For the current discussion item, we're talking about selection of meeting dates for 2026. So, Vice Chair Knight, that's...
I can't talk about that.
Correct.
Ms. Martin, may we please conduct a roll call vote on next year's calendar?
We would need a motion and a second, please.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve these dates for next year?
I move that we accept these dates.
Seconded.
And Chair Alstead, just to clarify, we're accepting the three dates with the exception of the November 11th.
That's and the alternate date and of December. Alternate. Second. Yeah, thank you.
And I'll do the roll call. Okay. Chair Alstead.
Yes.
Commissioner Hall is absent. Commissioner Ryder is absent. And Commissioner Michaels?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Knight?
Yes.
All right.
I probably will not be available for the December 2nd meeting. I have, that's the date of the ASCA conference. It's the Society of Consulting Arborists, and we have a meeting on that day. So I'm probably not going to be available.
Thank you. This is now the time in the agenda for commissioner comments for anything that is not on our agenda. It is a comment or shared information time, and staff cannot respond to the content, but you are welcome to make a comment.
You have anything?
Yes, I'd like to just thank everyone for being so welcoming. It's exciting for me to be a part of this process, and looking forward to getting to know you all a little bit, and thanks again.
Okay. I have two items I'd like to discuss. One's I am on the board of the California Urban Forest Council, and we would, it's made up of various chapters throughout the state, and we are trying to, our primary purpose is to help urban foresters and arborists do their jobs better. And the Central Coast portion of the California Urban Forest Council includes San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura. And currently it is in the process of reforming, and we are trying to get support for amongst all of the urban foresters and arborists in this area. And we'd like to have a potential meeting on February 6th. And so I guess this is a coffee item that I'll be discussing with George, Mr. Thompson, about, because I would like to include the city of Goleta with as part of that meeting, along with all the other cities around here. A second item is normally California Arbor Week is celebrated from March 7th to the 14th. And my organization, one of my organizations, Your Children's Trees, as most of those students there are involved with finals during the week of 7th to the 14th. So we're trying to work backwards and have an activity, or we have a week-long set of activities similar to Creek Week, except it's Arbor Week, And we'd like to do that during the week of March 1st through the 7th. And we'd like to talk again to the city about being part of that celebration and also being part of the city celebration. So things that we'd like to talk to you about in the future.
Thank you. And I just have one item that I'd like to share some information with my fellow commissioners. Back in August, members of Santa Barbara Audubon Society noticed apparent vandalism to trees at Lake Los Carneros. And city staff were notified. And over the months, this appeared to be on some ongoing damage where six oak trees and a number of eucalyptus and then some smaller native shrubs and trees have been cut down. And so I just wanted to let you know it's you know, illegal acts. And if you hear of anything or see of any actions like this, please notify city staff. So thank you.
You're looking to see, who did it.
I just want it not to happen again.
Got it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, as I'm sure everyone does, because trees are a valued resource. So in that note, I would like to move to item D on the agenda, which is adjournment. So I would like to adjourn this meeting, and thank you.